KAYT. Praising the Lord.
You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
Align yourself with His plan. Fulfillment comes from His plan. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, through chapter 2, verse 2, you don't have to turn there either. I'm going to read it. For you have heard, this is Paul's testimony, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism. How intensely, watch this now, I need you to catch this, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. This is the Apostle Paul. Back then his name was Saul. But Deacon Smith, he thought he was doing the will of God. He thought he was in his purpose. He thought he was in his destiny, destroying the church. I was advancing in Judaism. I was the man. Beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Tell somebody, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and could call me by his, that's why we can never get proud. I don't care what you could do, sing, rap, flip, I don't care what you could do, amen. Whatever you can do is by his grace. Anything we came to the earth with, God gave it to us. That's why he should get all the glory, all the time, all the service out of our lives. Amen. We shouldn't give all our time, all our service, all our energy, all our strength to Satan and ourselves. We give it to God because he's the one that gave it. He says, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Tell them he came into his true destiny. Saul had a plan. He was doing it his way. He did what he wanted to do. But Brother Jackson, eventually he said, you know what? I had an experience. I was on a street called Street. I was headed to Damascus, missionary, to continue to do wrong. But then I seen a light, and it knocked me off my beast, and I was blind for 3 days. But a man named Ananias came and laid his hands on me, and when I opened my eyes, I realized that the one that said, I'm the Lord who you've been persecuting, I have to serve him now. So he went from his destiny, Cheryl, to God's destiny. See, you'll never get everything God has for you doing your own thing. Eventually, you have to say, God, I surrender my will. And it's difficult in the beginning. It can be challenging. Man, if I was a big-time dope dealer or a crooked CEO and I'm making big money and I can't see getting caught yet, I'm going to keep doing that. But boy, when I get caught, it's going to be some hell to pay. Amen. But don't you know sometimes it's in the hell that you pay that you say, you know what, God, I need you. He works all things together for the good. Now, it was a bad choice, but even in that bad choice, you did the right thing. You called out on the one that can help you. So here was Saul. Saul said, I'm already doing well. I set up under Gamaliel, one of the top teachers in Jerusalem. I was a chief. You know, I was known among the Pharisees, but I was still outside of the will of God. I was still outside of the destiny God had for me from my mother's womb. Will you find that this year? Will you find God's destiny for your life? Will you submit to it? If you do, he'll catch up time. See, people think they're in a race catching up people. No. God is so awesome, Deep. He can take all of that, put it together with right now, and have you on the path, and he'll make up the difference. You'll learn even from the negative things that you did because he works all things together for the good. Here's the key, though, for them that love him. See, when you fall in love with him, he start making up the difference. Because you start seeing. Even when I did that, you were there. Anybody seen God in the midst of wrong stuff? I remember God in cities. God, you did that. I should have been. You was there. Now that I love him, I can see him. See, but when you love something else, you can't see him. That's why he said the pure heart shall see. The more you love him, the more you're going to see him. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you're going through. Love God. You love God. You know how they say rose-colored glasses? Yeah. He's going to talk. Listen. You know, divorce rate is so high. Watch this. But boy, when you first start dating, ooh, they bad, ain't they? Anybody remember a bad date? Okay, bad meaning good, okay? A good date, a great date. It was so good, it was bad. Amen. Rose-colored glasses. Now, the person had the same issues then that they got now. But back then, you was in. And when you in love, all you see is the. In fact, let somebody tell you something opposite of what you think you see. So it is with God. When you love something else, you can't see the good in God. When your heart is determined to do something opposite of God, for God is bad. Man, I ain't studying that God stuff, them church people, that church stuff. Why? Because you love something else. But the moment you fall in love with God, you say, you know what? Man, like me at 18 years old, y'all might not remember Mike Tyson, you know, bit the man, y'all. But I wrote a poem that said, God, where have you been all my life? He was always there. But I wanted to fornicate, be arrogant, and do my own thing. I wasn't paying no attention to God. But when I found him, God, where you been all my life? He was always there. My first pastor used to say, he was there all the time. This old song. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line. You catch that? He was there all the time. He was patiently waiting in line. On what? On you. I didn't know why he sang that. You know, I loved him. He was a great pastor. He didn't preach all the time, but boy, he sang. I'm being honest. But he knew what he was singing. He was there all the time. How many know he waiting on you today? Some folk, he waiting on you right now. He's waiting on me. See, there's different stages in this. Just like you go from an infant to a toddler, to a youth, to a teenager, to a young adult, to an adult, to a senior adult. There's stages in this. But he's waiting on you to get into the right stage and to begin to grow into everything he has for you. See, our destiny this year is understanding, number one, God already predestined us according to his foreknowledge, Romans 8:28. He already has good plans for us. His thoughts are already good towards us, Jeremiah 29:11. He desires that all of us would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He desires this. The question is, will we come in alignment with his destiny for our life? Or will we choose our own destiny? Don't you know there's signs to choices? Our choices leave signs. Because I can say I chose one thing, but these signs show something else. Amen. I can't say I'm going to Shreveport, but be headed down 171 South. Amen. I won't make it. There's signs that determine our choices. Amen. I'm going to preach a little bit more. I'm going to let it go. We're going to save some part two. We got plenty of scripture. Job chapter 8, verse 7. You don't have to turn there. He says, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. I want to leave you with this encouraging word this morning. Right now, you may feel small. You might feel like, you know what? I'm not reaching where God would have me to reach. I'm not in a place where I need to be right now. You might even be comparing yourself to somebody else, saying, look at them and look at me. Hear this prophetic word. Remember, a prophetic is just inspired by God using a human instrument. He says, though your beginning is small, I want to tell you, 2019, you're about to increase. I got to give you one more. Because you're going to need this one. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. Patience is your connection to a blessed future. See, when it gets rough, says the hunger for it, that's the decision we have to make. Do we jump out of the boat, or do we stay in the boat with Jesus? Sometimes people jump on out the boat. Well, you know, hey, I tried this. You can't try Jesus. Amen. You have to give your life to him. And when you give your life to him, you get the results. I've seen people, man, struggle all their life, but in their latter years, just got blessed. I'm talking about all kind of stuff. I know a couple in particular. Man seemed to live in poverty all his life, but his latter years, new vehicles, new house. Not that that's the whole thing. I'm just saying I watched the man's life. He was comfortable with a trailer. That's man, nothing against a trailer. I'm just saying, but in his latter years, and you know, if you talk to him, you know, he'll say, Pastor, I just believe in paying them tithes. Now, some people may say on a practical level, well, that's not it. But I want you to know the spiritual affects the practical. It's not just about tithes, but it's the fact that tithes work and he believed they work. And because they do work, it opened up doors where people got in his life and helped him with the natural things because of the spiritual thing he obeyed. So sometimes Satan to have us. You remember when Jesus was preaching, he'd say, those that have ears to hear. Because you could be preaching to people and the words are coming out, but they're not hearing it. Because the Bible talks about four types of ground, and the ground represents the heart. One ground is the thorny ground, meaning God is trying to scatter seed, but it's falling on ground that's thorny. And we know the thorns represent the cares of this world. I hear you, preacher, but I got money to make. I got places to go. I got people to see. I don't have time for Jesus in that church. And I'm going to tell you, that's real for people. I'm not talking about anybody here. If it hits you, great, take it, grow for it. But I'm saying in the world, think about it. We're in football season. Don't you know there's people spending big money on season tickets? I mean, they saying the Saints doing good, too. They Saints down, tailgate. Right? We finna do it big. And that's their mindset. Not knocking them. I like football, too. But, man, I'm not going to worship football like that. You have to be patient in this. Patience is our connection to a blessed future. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Your ladder ain't going to be greater. Hang in there. Hang in there. I don't care what it is. People have different problems. You can be looking at one person saying, well, they don't have this problem, but you don't know they got that problem. And you'd be saying, well, they don't have my problem, but they got another problem. Everybody don't have something. But you got to know at the end of the day, we got to go to the same problem solver. We got to go to God. And that same God is telling us today, though thy beginning be small, your latter end is going to greatly increase. Look at your neighbor and say, it's changing for me. Because I'm aligning with God's destiny for my life. Say it again. Say, it's changing for me because I'm aligning with God's destiny for my life. Look at him again and say, it's changing for me because I'm aligning with God's destiny for my life. It's not about my destiny, Saul, killing the church and Christians. It's about God's destiny, Paul, where now he's writing a third of the epistles in the New Testament. God is getting us in alignment with his destiny for our life. Don't look back. Don't turn back. Don't quit. though it may seem small right now, though it might not seem like you're where you want to be right now, he's about to